Thank you for joining us at God's Word. Today, we will be studying the organization of the church. If the Bible is our guide for the organization of the church will have Christ as the head, elders, also called bishops, shepherds, overseers, to oversee the flock, deacons, to help with the duties of the church, as well as preachers, also called ministers, evangelists, and teachers, to preach and teach God's word. Elders and deacons must meet certain qualifications, and each church body is independent of all others. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, in part says, Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We are Christ's servants, and as such, we are to continue the work started in us and in his church. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We are Christ's servants, and as such, we are to follow his commands. This should be something that we want to do, not that we feel obligated to do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We have seen that the church is from Christ. Remember, though, that without Christians meeting together, there would be an empty church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Why do we need leaders? Basically, we'll start from the beginning. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all messed up. You, me, and everyone. Thus, we need to be taught the right way from God's Word. We need elders and deacons, as well as a preacher and teachers, to lead us and set us on the right path. Without teachers in public, private, and home schools, we would not have an education. However, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 20, through 22 tell us, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. If we are wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise in Christ. Further, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, remind us that we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let us let God's teaching lead us. Then let us let God's leaders lead us. That right way is to have elders and deacons, as well as preacher and teachers. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. All churches should have elders and deacons, as well as at least one preacher and teacher. If a church is small, they can have a larger group provide the services of elders and deacons, as well as a preacher and teachers. As soon as the church has men qualified to be elders and deacons, it should have the elders and deacons of the larger church ordain local elders and deacons. A church without leaders is a church that is not being led, toward heaven and Christ. Worse, they're probably going backwards. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. There are requirements to be an elder, and we cannot forget that as we go forth. We need to have elders, overseers, bishops, and deacons to help lead us to be what God wants us to be. Further, these people should have a stake in making sure that the church body continues on and continues to do the work of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with having to change pages sometimes. We see that in the Philippian letter, the saints were named with bishops and deacons. The need to be guided was important enough that in the Philippian church, as in many other churches, bishops and deacons were overseeing the flock. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. We need those who have a genuine desire to see us continue to follow Christ and His Word. They need to make sure that our preachers and teachers are preaching and teaching the true Word of God and Christ. They need to want to do this job with the gentleness of a lamb, the speed of a jackal, and the full strength and power of God. They will lead and discipline when necessary. We as members of God's church will have to respect and honor those who are our new overseers. We should learn from them and gain from any necessary discipline. If, as I hope for, they do their job in love, we will grow and be together in heaven. Is that not our ultimate goal? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. We need to make sure that everything that is done in the church body is done to make sure we and others get to heaven. I hope that you and the overseers will work to make sure that we as Christians do everything for God and Christ with the goal of getting all of us and others to heaven. Having taught this, I wish to look at the practices of many of the churches today. They tell us that it should be a popular vote as to who should be an elder or a deacon. As I pointed out earlier, that decision should be that of a deacon or elder as to who should be appointed, called out to be an elder or a deacon. The elders are those who are to be the leaders of the church. Many of us believe that the preacher should be the leader of the church. The Bible shows us that the preacher should answer to the elders. That is why the position of an elder is so important. It is a position that not only sets the policy of God's word as our foundation and Christ as our foundation, but the elders deal with those who are not following it, whether on purpose or because of misunderstanding. We today, so many times, have the preacher do everything. The preacher needs the elders and deacons so that the load upon his shoulders is not a heavy burden. The preacher cannot do everything. Elders and deacons are needed to help run the church, to make sure the church is on the right path. And they are there to be the ones to be at the hospital, at the sick bed, to be teaching, to be doing the many other things that the Church of Jesus Christ requires today. We have so many decisions that have to be made in a church today. Are we going to continue in this building? Or are we growing fast enough that we need another building? Where will that building be? How will we deal with making it possible? Those are all issues that have to be dealt with by those who understand what is in God's Word. What outreach programs should we have? When should our service be? Should it be Wednesday, Thursday for midweek service? Should we meet at 9, 9:30, 10? Should we have two services Sunday morning? Most of that is determined by your need. But some of that can be to promote growth. Not just numbers, but Christian growth. We need to have not only the elders, the deacons, the preachers, the teachers out teaching, but fellow Christians, I need to tell you a secret. The church needs you. You need to be not only sitting in that pew every time there's a service, but you need to be out there talking to people about Christ, letting them know about the church, about what time we meet, letting them know that, like we talked about earlier, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all have come short of the glory of God, all need the salvation that Christ gave us when he died on the cross and was resurrected again. He died so that we can have a corrected life that ends in heaven. One of our responsibilities as church members is to make sure others are on the same road as we are. Others know about Christ and follow that road. There's a song that says, I believe the title is, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." And it is a very sad song, but just the title tells you. What's it going to be like when we get to heaven and we know there's somebody that we saw day by day and knew they were astray and yet never mention Christ to them? We are told to go and teach all nations, That is one of our commands, is to go and teach all nations. As I talked about earlier, we're talking about the organization of the church, and there's no need to understand the organization of the church if we don't have anybody in the church. We need to grow the church wherever we are. We need to make sure that we don't just say, well, we have elders, we have deacons, we have a preacher, they can do that. Or somebody else will do that. I don't need to do that. No! This is the greatest gift we've been given. We need to make sure to follow through and make sure that gift is given to others. Christ gave his life for us. He gave his life for us so that we might be saved. So we might not have to stand in judgment for what we have done. Our sins are washed away. Why would we want to be careless enough and greedy enough to not pass that on? Why would we want to be lazy enough to say, the preacher, the deacon, the elders, the teachers, they'll take care of that. Somebody else will take care of that. Well, that person that's across the street from you, maybe they don't know the elder. Maybe they don't know the deacon. Maybe they don't know the preacher. Maybe they don't know any of the teachers. And maybe they don't know anybody else in the church. But they know you! Why? Why would you want to let them not have the opportunity to go to heaven? Why would you want to risk that? And why would you want to risk making God mad by not following the command to teach? To go into all the world and teach. That's a pretty easy thing. Not to go into all the world, but to teach your neighbor. What does it take? A little bit of time? A little bit of maybe looking something up on the internet to be able to get the information you want to be able to teach them. It's not something that is really that hard. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How can we, knowing that, not talk with our neighbor? Thank you for listening. We'll see you back here next week. Amen.